week on Ice Pilots NWC.
Crank it over.
Food and mail flights to the north are grounded.
We're going to take her off.
That's strange.
Monty here is still hanging down there.
It's a no-go for tonight.
Don't fly the plane tonight.
Especially when it's minus 40.
Oh. It's fucking Sunday. This happened Wednesday.
Yellowknife, Northwest Territories. A bitter cold snap just before Christmas. A time when isolated settlements in the Arctic depend more than ever on Buffalo Airways to deliver food, supplies, and presents. But when it's this cold and there's so much on the line, things have a way of going south.
You already got that idea in your head that everything's going to break. So it's almost maybe a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Still, Buffalo founder Joe McBrien pushes to get the job done.
You got to come up there with a covered wagon on auction and go and get your groceries over to those shelves. We got to live by that.
Joe has to keep these old warplanes flying, even in the deep freeze. They're the only way to get food and mail to four tiny communities along the Mackenzie Valley. Fort Good Hope, Norman Wells, Toledo, and Delaney.
Cold weather coming. Whatever's worn a little or something like that, that's when it's going to break.
Today, Captain A.J. DeCoste will fly the Valley Run in this vintage World War II aircraft, the C-46.
I'm from Nova Scotia. I did my flight training there. And I came to Buffalo with little or no experience, really.
At Buffalo Airways, AJ came a long way. Now he's the captain of one of the hardest airplanes to fly at Buffalo Airways, and I'd argue one of the hardest airplanes to fly in the world.
The C-46 has a wide fuselage and a broad tail, making it vulnerable to crosswinds, especially with its small rudder. Plus, with most of its weight behind the main wheels, the back end can swing around if not landed straight. The Curtiss Wright C-46 Commando is legendary. She flew U.S. troops and equipment in World War II. Soldiers called her Dumbo after the Disney elephant. She's big, unwieldy, and powerful. She made it through the war. Now, Buffalo Airways C-46 is the stalwart of the Mackenzie Valley Run.
There's a need for that type of airplane in a frontier area. If you look at the age of the 46, the airplane must be a very, very good airplane to be that old and have survived so many other airplanes that have come, did their time, and went.
With the conditions of the runways and the weather patterns in the north, the C-46 was our really only choice.
I don't really think there's much else out there that could do the job that these airplanes do. It's like a big pig, eh? Like a big old pig.
Okay, AJ, crank it over.
Scott Blue is the co-pilot on today's flight. At 6'7", the only cockpit in the fleet that he fits into is the C-46.
He was just too tall. That's his nickname, actually, too tall.
I gave him that name. He can reach things that I can't, eh?
He's been flying for 6 or 8 months with us now, and he's actually doing great.
You know, I love the... You know, fire up in the morning, you know. Bang, bang, bang. It's just cool, you know what I mean?
523 tower lineup, runway 27, number 1 for departure.
The last time AJ and Scott flew this C-46, they had to shut down the right engine and land with just the left one.
Buffalo 523, you're clear for takeoff, runway 27.
523 on the roll.
With their pre-flight checks done, it's takeoff time. AJ and Scott head out for four stops up the Mackenzie Valley.
523 Buffalo, winds calm, altimeter 3086, no reporting traffic.
Right over there.
On the leg from Fort Good Hope to Norman Wells, 700 kilometers from Yellowknife, things start to unravel.
We touched down. Everything seemed fine. There was not an indication whatsoever in any instruments whatsoever that anything was wrong. Filled her up with gas. AJ tried to start number two, like he always does. No.
Scott, can you go check that right engine?
So I had Scott go outside and actually try to physically move the propeller.
Gave it a little bit of a tug, nothing. A little bit more, and you're not going to hurt the thing. And as hard as I could pull on that thing, and it wouldn't budge. And then I just yelled up, AJ, she don't budge.
So I knew then it was something else more serious.
It's minus 38, and now Scott and AJ are stranded on the tarmac in Norman Wells.
I can't budge it.
That engine seized up. That's not good. We have to go call company and see if we can get this thing looked at.
If this C-46 needs replacement parts, there could be a problem. Finding spares isn't easy. These parts are a scarce commodity dug up from a dwindling supply of wartime surplus or salvaged from the few scrap planes still around.
There's a lot of competition for the 46. There's 10 airplanes left. It's like a race. Whoever gets there first gets the part.
At the Buffalo Parts Department, manager Ron Woolowich says with only a handful of C-46s still flying, this airplane's days are numbered.
I'm serious. This 46, we keep this thing flying by the seat of our pants.
They'll be going to the boneyard, not because they can't fly, it's because you can't put the parts on them to fly anymore. And it's going to be a sad day.
Up in Norman Wells, Buffalo's lead mechanic Chuck Adams arrives to check out the C-46 engine problem.
He's a very knowledgeable C-46 mechanic.
Servicing these planes is in his blood.
My dad worked on these. My dad was director of maintenance for NWT Air. We're the last of it all, right here, all these old piston pounders.
They call me, come on up here and assess the situation. And the situation is, it no good. Oh, it's seized, man. Something's gone inside the engine. I can't fix it. It's impossible.
I thought you could fix anything, Chuck.
Sometimes I can, but I left my magic wand at home.
Chuck is going to have to perform some kind of crazy magic to get this seized up C-46 running. If he can't, a lot of people's Christmas presents will sit backed up in Buffalo's cargo terminal, 700 kilometers down in Yellowknife. Coming up, stuck landing gear tests a Buffalo pilot's nerve.
If it doesn't lock, then it'll just collapse on you. That's the only thing that's really going through my head.
Couldn't happen at a worse time. Buffalo Airways C-46 cargo plane has broken down in the remote Arctic village of Norman Wells at a critical time, the pre-Christmas rush.
Cold weather coming. Whatever's worn a little, that's when it's going to break.
Mechanic Chuck Adams has been flown in to see if he can fix the problem.
Oh, it's seized, man. Something's gone inside the engine.
But it's obvious that this is no quick fix.
We're going to take her off.
They need to fly in a whole new engine. Replacing this 3,500-pound 18-cylinder Pratt & Whitney in the middle of nowhere in minus 40 temperatures will be a colossal task. It has Chuck pondering career options.
If you couldn't be doing this, what would you be doing?
I would probably be a porn star. All you gotta do is get it up.
Chuck is a character, my friend. Extremely good guy and just hilarious.
Chuck orders a full engine sent up from Yellowknife. Once it gets here, he'll have to pull off the seized engine and install the new one, here on the wind-whipped tarmac. Back in Yellowknife, Buffalo General Manager Mikey McBrien needs to find a way to get that replacement engine to Norman Wells fast. Plus, he has to come up with a way to move the important shipments of Christmas food and goods already backing up in the cargo terminal.
Groceries are under contract. They got about 48 hours from they're delivered to us to when they're delivered to the end user. The customer doesn't care about what's going on here. The customer doesn't care there's an airplane stuck in the wells. The customer doesn't care it's 35 below. They don't care about this stuff. All we got to do is just make them happy.
There's elders up there that, you know, they're not dusting off their guns to go shoot a caribou. I mean, they need this food. How would you feel if you couldn't make your kid a lunch for school? You know, anything like that.
Mikey breaks the news to his father, Buffalo owner Joe McBrien.
Hey, Dad?
Yeah.
Hey, a little of crummy news for you.
I guess the 46 is in the wells right now with the bum engine.
So,
you know what? Yeah,
there. Tired of this shit.
He's coming in. He's pissed off. Think about my father. He's not concerned about the aircraft per se. He's concerned about what the customers think.
Buffalo is now in jeopardy of breaching their biggest contract. Joe decides to kill two birds with one plane by sending both the supplies and the engine on the backup C-46.
Go up there and get the groceries on the shelf.
Yeah.
That's the idea. You can't sell groceries back here.
No, nope, I fully understand.
But the backup C-46 isn't winter ready. With only 8 hours left before Buffalo's contracted delivery deadline lapses, the big cargo plane must take a test flight. Captain Devin Brooks is at the controls. A couple of years ago, he applied to Buffalo on a whim.
It was about minus 35 in the November, end of November when I came, and almost turned around. They put me in food mail for 2 weeks, and I really didn't like that. So I didn't unpack my car. Then I started to fly the 46. A year later, they made me captain on it. Here we are now, after 2 years and a couple months.
10 minutes into the test flight, and Devin's had enough.
We're freezing our asses off. All right, Adam, jump up here. I'm getting cold and I'm getting crazy.
The test flight is a bust. The cockpit is like a freezer.
Well, our plan was this morning to convert this aircraft to a winter aircraft, and we kind of failed the test flight on it. The heater failed to ignite. It's absolute crunch time. We have our engine that's needed to be sent up, and we have late groceries. We have customers on the phone looking for their stuff.
They need this food, especially this time of year because it's Christmas, and I mean, they're waiting for their turkeys and all their stuff, presents, everything. They depend on us to get it to them.
In an icebound community like Delaney, there is no permanent road in or out. It's one of the last stops on the Mackenzie Valley Run, and even a delay to Buffalo's service can be a hardship.
Buffalo, I would consider a lifeline to the community because Delaney is an isolated community. We only have a winter road access 3 months out of the year, 9 months out of the year. Everything's flown in.
While some of Delaney's 600 residents still hunt and more they depend on food air freighted from the south.
White fish there. We're still waiting for the buffalo to come in. And if you take a look at the stores, then, you know, they're out of bread, they're running out of milk, their produce is old.
Seymour Jacobs, who runs the Great Bear Co-op in Delaney, is getting frustrated.
Morning, Buffalo.
Hi, Kevin. Seymour calling from Great Bear Co-op.
Hey, Seymour. How are you?
So what happened to the freight? The
plane broke down, so I couldn't
get the freight out to everybody.
Sorry, buddy. That one will go, and then this one,
Callie and her husband Juan came to Buffalo from British Columbia just over a year ago. Juan got a job as a mechanic.
I thought I was just going to come up here, you know, maybe work in the mines or do something. And then as soon as I got here, they said to bring me over and hired me immediately.
Kelly's definitely a people person when it comes to management.
That pellet.
People gravitate to her. She's so nice. When she's around, it makes everybody work harder.
She's great to work with. She's great people. She takes care of everybody like your family.
She's a sweetheart. It's as simple as that.
All the customers seem to be happy. Everything is going well. And overall, she's doing an excellent job.
We're never going to get through this.
And today, Kelly's anxious to find a way to get the cargo to her customers.
The only place they're going to get the food from is us, so it's pretty important that we get it up there too. So we're working on Plan B, which usually always happens, is Plan B.
After hours of repair, the backup C-46 cockpit heaters are ready for another test run.
We're actually going to take it out in the air and see if she goes. This is our second test flight of the morning.
Oh yeah, she should be able to go now. She should be good to go.
This time, the C-46's cockpit heaters ignite. The plane should be winter ready. The Buffalo team prepares for a full capacity load.
Hopefully, this will all fit on the plane because we've got the engine and all the tools and everything else going on it.
First up, easing in the 3,500-pound engine bound for Norman Wells.
Slowly.
But Norman Wells is losing its luster for the Buffalo crew cooling their jets there.
Is it a town that I would like to spend a lot of time in? Personally, no. A little too small for me.
Norman Wells, population 800. A couple of restaurants, one library, zero nightlife.
There was little to do but, you know, jack up our TV time.
While Scott is single, AJ's missing his fiance Candace back in Yellowknife. And Chuck, he has a wife and three kids back home.
There's the wife over here, right? She's the mother of the three angels.
Yeah.
One, two. Where's the other one? Come here.
Wave the camera. Smile.
And the waiting is grinding his gears.
What do we got?
Yeah, here's what we got. Piece of cheese and beginner beer. I hope my friends don't see me yelling at this, because they would disown me. Like, I'm a professional alcoholic, and that is beginner beer.
Loaded to the max, the backup C-46, piloted by Captain Devin Brooks and co-pilot Gord Cooling, finally takes off from Yellowknife on the rescue mission. It's bound for Norman Wells with the replacement engine.
That's strange.
But something's not right.
Doesn't seem like landing gear is going up properly.
I want to give him a call and check the radios.
Hey, TXW there. I noticed on takeoff their wheels are a little slow.
Yeah, it looks like the landing gear is still hanging down there. Looks like both of our yaw pumps aren't working.
The hydraulics aren't lifting the landing gear. There's something wrong, and it's too risky to keep trying to pull up the wheels in case the gear does come up and then get stuck in the undercarriage.
That's when the heart starts racing.
Mikey has no choice. He orders Devin to turn around and bring the plane back. But neither of them even knows for sure if the stuck landing gear is properly locked down.
Like, if it doesn't lock, then it'll just collapse on you. That's the only thing that's really going through my head.
Your mind automatically goes to the bad scenarios.
If the hydraulics haven't locked the landing gear, the plane will crash belly down on the runway.
Is the landing gear going to collapse on landing? You're already preparing yourself for the worst.
With a desperately needed engine and Christmas food and cargo aboard, Buffalo Airways backup C-46 has finally set off from Yellowknife. It's on a rescue mission to Norman Wells, 700 kilometers north where the main plane has broken down. But But the rash of mechanical problems isn't over yet.
The freaking perfect storm. We have a problem with the 46 in Norman Wells. It needs an engine, so we're using the backup. And sure enough, it takes off, and the freaking landing gear is stuck down. Now that's another problem.
With no other alternative but to turn back and try to land the plane, Captain Devin Brooks prepares for the worst.
Doesn't lock, then. And it'll just collapse on you. That's the only thing that's really going through my head.
Well, this is a pain in the ass.
But that's only half of Devin's concern.
Just leave the flaps down so we don't use up what hydraulics we have. We just want to make sure we have enough pressure in the system to use our brakes. Got full flap coming.
Even if the landing gear is locked down, Devin still fears that if there's a leak in the hydraulic system, he may not have enough pressure to apply the brakes. So he uses full flaps to slow the plane as much as he can on approach. It's all he can do now. The C-46 landing gear holds, and so do the brakes. But Buffalo has missed its delivery deadline.
Realistically, that plane was supposed to leave on Friday. It being Saturday night, and you see the plane's moving in the wrong direction right now.
The C-46 seems cursed.
I'm smiling now, but I'm smiling under just extreme duress. There's a lot of people that wanted their stuff today. We'll get into them tomorrow.
Yeah, Mike. You coming tonight or you want to come tomorrow morning?
It's a no-go for tonight. A no-go.
Oh, yeah. It's a no-go for tonight.
That was Chucky and Norman Wells. He's asking me when he can get in his engine, and I had to give him the bad news that his engine is 20 feet away from us and not in the air, heading towards him as we speak.
Well, we still have problems with our 46. It's in the hangar right now getting made this summer.
This waiting game for the engine is taking its toll.
You know what happens when I just stuck in the down? First of all, I'm going to turn gate. You're it. I got roped into this somehow. I got to backtrack, figure out how they roped me into this.
After another long night in the hangar, Adam and the other Buffalo mechanics fix the hydraulic problem with the C-46 landing gear.
I'm hoping it's all good now. I'm just having a final look over, make sure nothing's falling apart.
But now, there's such a backlog of food for delivery, one flight can't carry it all for all four communities.
Perfect.
The supplies for Delaney will have to be bumped another day. And that's more bad news for Seymour Jacobs, who runs the local food co-op.
Not coming in again today?
No.
You're not coming in today?
I couldn't get the rest of your stuff on there.
Couldn't get it on the plane?
Because they had
to take an engine up to Norman Wells.
It'll be on the plane.
Tomorrow.
Seymour's not happy.
Okay.
And neither is Kelly. The pressure of managing the backlog is starting to get to her.
Bye. Shit, already I'm like 5:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night, and this week was 7 days a week. I mean, it wears on a person.
At last, after an unplanned vacation in Norman Wells, mechanic Chuck Adams' ship has finally come in. It's carrying the C-46 replacement engine he and pilots AJ and Scott had been waiting for 4 days.
How's it going, partner?
You guys should have been here at 30. Night with the engine, not today. It's Sunday. This happened Wednesday.
Really?
Really? But,
well, I'm pissed off because you guys couldn't organize banging a maneuver out.
There's no hangar space to work in, but Chuck is given access to power just outside the hangar. Now, the only trick is to drag 17 tons of vintage steel with a half-ton pickup.
I couldn't believe that, you know, that little old Ford F-150 was dragging the C-46. I mean, we're crawling along 2 miles an hour, but in reverse.
In Yellowknife, the Christmas cargo is piling up on manager Kelly Jurasovic.
I had to bump a lot. We haven't flown since Wednesday, and what is it, Sunday now, so... It's been brutal. Plane's breaking down, not getting food out, having to work 7 days a week. Just loving it.
The Buffalo couriers keep bringing in more freight, but Kelly can't ship it out fast enough.
Well, we're backed up bad. I got two trucks sitting out there that are full.
We got another friggin' truck here.
I got nowhere to do the freight or move it in here because it's just nuts. It's Christmas. And everybody just expects me to jump and have the ship ready and get it moved.
The Arctic temperatures are crippling just about everything.
Forklift broke down inside the warehouse. We can't unload any of the trucks to get the flights ready. And I'm irritated.
And she isn't the only one. Mike Dunn oversees Buffalo's courier van service.
5 out of my 8 vans won't start, so I've got 3 on the road scrambling to get done what I can.
The cold snap is not only wreaking mechanical havoc, but emotional turmoil as well. Mike Dunn loses it and throws a tantrum in the office.
Mike, you scared the f***ing shit out of Rose. I'm not kidding you. I don't need her to quit. Like, she, when you threw the phone, you freaked her right out. So, okay, give me a hug. I love you. Mike's throwing shit, throwing phones, freaking out. Rose is scared, which isn't good. You don't have to scare Rose. She's our new employee.
Mike makes a power play, deciding he needs to take charge of Kelly's cargo transport operation.
Just all hell broke loose, I guess, and he spoke with me that he's got to be in charge of my loads, too, and this and that now.
Basically, Mike Dunn, from the gist of it, I heard, says, I'm the boss, we'll do it my way.
I mean, shit, it's exhausting. I'm not very happy. I don't know what to do.
With conflict among employees, there's a high chance that either Kelly or Mike Dunn will be leaving, and just hopefully it doesn't get to that point.
But it does. Kelly's had enough.
Well, if Kelly's walking out the door, we're all walking out the door. Because, to be honest, the only reason we're all working here and everybody's so happy over there is because of Kelly.
Pushed to the brink, with Christmas cargo piling up, Kelly's on the verge of quitting. And if she does, she may take half the cargo terminal staff with her. With their C-46 cargo plane grounded and Christmas deliveries backing up, Buffalo's courier depot is in chaos. Cargo manager Kelly Jurasovic is on the verge of quitting after freight operations manager Mike Dunn threatens to take over her job.
Please, I didn't understand why, what I've done wrong, because, I mean, all I give a shit about is Buffalo.
If Kelly ever left, I'd leave, Juan would leave, the Newf would leave, and probably quite a few people would leave.
To avoid a total walkout, Kelly confronts Mike Dunn.
Well, I want us to be friends. We work together. And you are my friend. And I've explained that to everybody. You okay?
She brokers an uneasy peace with Mike. He reluctantly agrees. She'll continue to run the cargo terminal.
I'm just standing down here, Devin.
And it's back to work loading Devin's
C-46. We gotta get this one on the way right now because the engines are already getting...
Prepare for takeoff on runway 427. Prepare for takeoff on 427. It'll be a right-hand turn straight on ahead.
In Norman Wells, Chuck and his assistant Glenn are busy removing the seized-up C-46 engine.
We are in day one of the swap, I guess. It's about minus 30 today, so it's just beautiful.
Oh, it's lovely. You know, it's like being in Florida on the beach. All we're missing is chicks. We ain't got no chicks.
Well, we got to get a pin on here, right? Get this distributor off. It's quite obvious. I can't see the goddamn thing.
The frost fighters provide some relief from the cold, but spew a blinding fog.
you got the wind blowing, snow on occasions, and it's just oil and grease and grime and hydraulic fluid. Pretty much there was just a trail of goo and mess everywhere we went.
Let's see what oil's like at minus 30.
You get covered in oil, you can't avoid it. It's like molasses coming off the engine, it's all frozen. You gotta walk up and down ladders, you gotta bend in, you gotta basically crawl inside the back of the engine.
You can see this is a young man's game.
Well, you don't have to join the Army or the Navy to get an experience like this, you just gotta join Buffalo Airways. Right, Carter?
Meanwhile, Captain Devin Brooks is making up for lost time. After a delivery to Fort Good Hope, Devin powers on to Delaney, where Seymour Jacobs and his customers have waited almost a week for their food shipment. But the string of bad luck strikes again. Devin is forced to stop short of Delaney and make a pit stop in, of all places, Norman Wells. That's where head mechanic Chuck Adams has been battling the bitter wind and cold as he tries to replace the entire engine on the disabled C-46 grounded there.
C-246 is down in Norman Wells is very rare.
Oh, brother.
I think I've only had two the whole time I've been here that have broken down out in the field.
Chuck manages to tune up Devin's engine so he can fly the plane back to Yellowknife for a full repair. But making the food delivery today to Delaney is out of the question. In this deep freeze, engines freeze up within a half hour. Devin needs to get going quickly.
Race is so once the tents come off, we don't freeze up. Especially when it's minus 40.
But the curse won't let up. While sweeping off ice high up on the wings, Devin falls 10 feet onto the frozen tarmac.
He fell off the wing and I sort of tried to half catch him, which may or may not. I mean, yeah, he screwed up his shoulder.
Despite his injury, Devin is determined to fly back to Yellowknife before the engines freeze. He phones Kelly to let her know the shipment destined for Delaney will not be delivered tonight.
That's unknown ID. Hello, this is Kelly.
The call catches Kelly at home where she's hosting a party for the Buffalo gang.
Hey, how's it going?
Kelly's role here at Buffalo is officially she's the head of food mail, but her unofficial role here is sort of like the mom of everybody.
I just make sure I always invite the boys over and, you know, cook them dinner and have drinks and play poker or whatever and, you know, show them that they're loved because when I came up here, I was pretty lonely for my family. And Buffalo became my family.
Are you sure you're going to be all right to get home? Promise me?
Lots of these kids are like my own kids. Like, God, if anything happened to them, I don't know what I would do.
Okay, I'll call you right back.
Worried about Devin's condition after his fall, Kelly calls her boss, Joe McBrien.
Yeah, Joe. Hey, how's it going?
Devin just contacted me. He's going to just fly
straight home with the aircraft.
Joe, I would like to make a call.
Tell that plane to stay there. I'm really worried.
It's dark.
It's late, and I don't want anything happen to those guys, Joe.
I think we'll be hanging down today.
Okay.
The boys will take a rest. Double up tomorrow.
Kelly relays Joe's decision to Devin.
I want to give you guys the heads up. I spoke with Joe,
and I explained that you
hurt your arm.
Devin was fine to fly. He had a sore arm. I think his injury was blown out of proportion back in Yellowknife.
Joe doesn't want you to
come home tonight. Joe made the call
because it's too late. He doesn't want the airplane to move.
In the Norman Wells terminal, Chuck Adams gets wind of the change of plans.
What do you mean shut down? Who said that?
Joe.
Bullshit.
No.
That's the worst mistake you can make right now.
Joe McBrien made the call that
you guys stay in the fucking well.
I don't care what she says or Joe says or anybody else. Yeah, you
need
to run right now and get back
to
Okay, Devin. Joe made the call.
Don't fly the plane tonight.
Airways is buckling under the strain of the pre-Christmas rush.
Don't fly the plane tonight!
The bitter cold weather and a crazy string of mechanical bad luck. In Norman Wells, C-46 Captain Devin Brooks and his crew have been ordered to stay the night. Now they pay the price, waking up to a frosty minus 50. The C-46 engines exposed overnight might as well be set in concrete.
Usually the propeller will move when you pull it. I'm putting quite a bit of force on it, but because the engine is so cold, the oils are pretty much like molasses. So that's why we're putting the heat on the engines and the oils. This thing right now would never start.
Mechanic Chuck Adams knows they missed their best chance to get out last night.
You know, they would have listened to me. They could have flew it home.
For 4 hours, they warmed the engines with diesel heaters. Finally, Devin can take off for Yellowknife. Where the cargo backlog has reached epic proportions. The continued setbacks have Seymour Jacobs of the Great Bear Co-op in Delaney at the end of his rope.
It's frustrating. Another day, no freight.
No bread, no bread. No fresh produce to eat, no fresh milk. On and off, we're in terrible shape.
The 46 breaks down. The second 46 has a problem. The stuff's not getting there.
Okay, this week is mechanical. Next week is weather. Next week is something else. It's always a bag of tricks.
And I don't blame the communities. The communities don't care how their chips get to their place. They don't care if it comes on dog sled or comes on a 747, as long as it gets there.
Product is no good in the airplane. It's only good on the shelf.
With both C-46s out of commission and too much cargo for any of the regular fleet to handle, Buffalo Joe makes his move.
I thought it would be a good time to exercise the electric, see how it works.
The Electra, Buffalo's recently purchased turboprop cargo plane, is the latest addition to the fleet. In a hangar full of planes from the 1940s, this shiny 1950s era plane seems sleek and futuristic by comparison. It was the first turboprop airplane built in the U.S. With a 100-foot wingspan and with 15,000 horsepower at takeoff, the Electra can carry over 12 tons of cargo.
It's done its test flights, it's done its little fussiness, and it's basically ready to go.
Now, it will make its maiden voyage under the Buffalo Airways banner.
It's got a lot of advantages with its power.
With turbine engines powering propellers, the Electra cruises at 350 knots, more than double the cruising speed of the C-46, and carries twice the payload, but at a price.
This airplane here, we turn jet fuel into black smoke. This will suck 5,000 pounds an hour.
That's $4,000 of fuel guzzled every hour. To justify that kind of cost, the Electra needs a massive payload, almost 30,000 pounds worth. And that's just about the weight of the cargo backed up in the terminal. So the Electra will be packed full.
Well, I love the Electra. There's no other airplane around that can do what the Electra does. It carries a good big load, and it's fast.
But nothing the size of the Electra has ever landed in Delaney. Twice as heavy as the C-46, the Electra requires an extra 1,000 feet of runway to take off and land. Fortunately, Delaney has just extended its strip to 4,000 feet, the minimum length the Electra needs.
Hi, Kevin. Seymour calling from Great Bear Corps.
Hey, Seymour.
How are you?
Not too bad. So what's going on with our freight?
Well, buddy,
I'm having flights with the Electra, and
you have 7,000 pounds on the plane.
So are you telling me all my freight is dirt?
Yeah, bread, produce, milk, dairy, general, frozen.
I promise it'll be there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Kelly's given Seymour her word that the food will ship out. But the weather over Delaunay has turned. There's no guarantee that the Electra will be able to land. Seymour Jacobs heads to Delaunay's airstrip to see with his own eyes.
It was a week yesterday since we had our last freight. Been 8 days. And now we wait.
Conditions are treacherous. There's a thick ice fog and crosswinds so powerful that the lighter C-46 would have never been able to land. Through the fog, the Electra finds the runway. It has never landed here before. Touching down at 120 knots, the turboprops are thrust into reverse. For Seymour, the Electra's arrival is a welcome relief.
Yep, we got all our stuff.
And for his patients...
We'll eat them all in one day.
Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem.
Tell Kelly thanks.
I will.
A box of donuts from Kelly. The Electra has proven itself, making deliveries up the Mackenzie Valley in less than half the time it would take the C-46 to shuttle this same load. Back in Norman Wells, mechanic Chuck Adams and the wind-whipped crew of the disabled C-46 are finally installing the 3,500-pound replacement engine.
Hold it!
When you're putting an engine on, you're connecting up oil lines, hydraulic lines. It takes a long time just to line it up because it's half frozen. You got to work with little gloves. That's something you have to get used to if you want to do this right now. You better take your gloves off.
Christ.
Oh, yeah, I have my moments. Let me assure you. I curse, I swear.
Christ.
Well, that's Chuck. I'm always bitching. If I ain't bitching, I'm not happy.
Bullshit.
10 days. Whole lot of waiting. 16 kilograms of MSG each from the Chinese food at the hotel. So, we're finally, it's all finished up, buttoned down, lock wire, tightened, torqued, ready to rock, we hope.
If it doesn't start, I'm going to flip. I just spent 10 days here. And if it don't start, I'm going to snap.
For 10 days, Buffalo Air's trusty C-46 has been the problem child of the fleet. It broke down and left its crew stranded in the isolated village of Norman Wells. That caused chaos right before Christmas for Buffalo's crucial food deliveries in the Mackenzie Valley. Mechanic Chuck Adams, his assistant Glenn, and pilots AJ and Scott have endured brutal cold as they swapped out the entire engine to revive this old warbird. Now, it's the moment of truth.
If it doesn't start, I'm going to flip. But I just spent 10 days here. And if it don't start, I'm going to snap.
Oh, for sure, but yeah, freedom. Freedom from Norman Wells.
We're going home, boys. Friggin' ain't. We're going home.
Did I know it was going to start? No. Was I glad it started? Yeah. If it didn't start, you guys would have had some real good footage. Yeah, I think it would have started with the camera guy.
9:30.
Buffalo Airways C-46 is finally back up and running and heading home to Yellowknife for Christmas.
Well, I say to myself every time I'm done one of them jobs, I'm ready to quit. I've had enough. But they wanted me to do it tomorrow. I'd probably go do it again tomorrow.
Next time on Ice Pilots NWT, an all-night attempt to turn a DC-4 into an airborne fuel tanker.
Damage to the valves, we're going to have a pretty big spill.
Trouble between the sexes heats up with the arrival of a female pilot.
If there's anybody who's going to jump somebody in line, it's a girl.
And Chief Pilot Arnie Schrader has a birthday from hell.